Hi, Jen Richler here with the first episode of our spring season. First, a word from our sponsor, TVNew. Know a Jewish teen figuring out what's next? For students ages 17 to 21, the TVNew Gap Year offers hands-on internships for social change, adventures in the stunning Pacific Northwest, and friendships that last a lifetime. Participants live in a vibrant and inclusive Jewish home in Portland, Oregon. It's a year of adventure, impact, and connection. Visit TIVNU.org. Applications are open now and robust financial aid is available. Now, on to the show. Welcome back to Can We Talk, the podcast of the Jewish Women's Archive, where gender, history, and Jewish culture meet. For this episode, we're bringing back Word of the Week, our occasional series where we dig into one word and explore how it relates to Jewish women. This time, zaftig.
Zaftig can mean juicy, tender, luscious, succulent, moist, tasty.
Zaftig just means, you know, full of sap.
If you have a well-cooked piece of meat that has a lot of flavor, of course brisket comes to mind, you would call that a zaftig shtickelfleisch, meaning a juicy piece of meat. You would also say about a woman that they're zaftig.
I would say voluptuous, curvy, taking up space in a good way.
I know that zaftig is used in a negative way, you know, like big, large woman, but I am a big, large woman, and I'm proud of that.
That was Yiddish poet and author Gittel Schechter Vishwanath, writer Lizzie Skernick, Talmud explainer Miriam Anzevin, and comedian Judy Gold. We'll hear more from them throughout the episode as we take on some key questions about zaftig. When did this Yiddish word start being used in America? Can a non-Jew be zaftig? Can a man? And maybe most importantly, is zaftig a compliment or an insult?
It's generally positive, but, you know, in different times, different weight or body types are attractive and others aren't, and sometimes they switch 180 degrees.
Gittel Schechter Vishwanath is editor-in-chief of the Comprehensive Yiddish-English Dictionary.
So certainly in the 19th century, in the early 20th century, being full-figured or pleasantly plump or, you know, having full breasts, that was considered a positive. It showed that you weren't poor. It sort of represented a certain status of a sort of a socioeconomic status. And a woman who was zaftig, it was a compliment. The earliest known use of zaftig in English was in the 1920s. There was a magazine that ran from 1916 to the mid-20s called the Broadway Brevities. It was America's first national gossip tabloid. There's a quote in 1921, and the quote is, "Isn't Diana Allen getting very zaftig?" And from then on, there were numerous references to zaftig as referring to a body type.
Diana Allen was a silent film star, not Jewish for the record. The example Gittel gave suggests that even early on, the word could be used as a critique, similar to calling someone chunky. But in the 1930s, Variety magazine sometimes used the word in reviews of burlesque dancers, probably more with the voluptuous connotation.
Merriam-Webster says that it's a full-rounded figure or pleasingly plump. The Cambridge Dictionary specifically says that it's only used for women, more specifically, having large breasts and hips and not thin, but in a way that is attractive. And then it gives an example. Marilyn Monroe was sometimes called full-figured or zaftig.
And Marilyn Monroe definitely set a beauty standard for the time.
I ask whether women enjoy being called zaftig. So 100 years ago, I think they would have loved it. maybe even 50 years ago, or actually like 60 years, like the 1940s, let's say. But I'm just curious if today women would enjoy being called Zaftik.
What's your experience with being called Zaftig?
When I was about 13, I had just come back from running. And like many 13-year-old girls, I, you know, had a lot of flaws that I saw in my body. And I remember my grandma very approvingly said, "Oh, Zaftig." And at the time, I was like, "Grandma, Zaftig means fat." And she said to me, "Oh, it doesn't mean fat. It means strong." When I look back, I'm very happy that she was able to celebrate me, that I looked, you know, healthy and full of sap and robust. And I wish I had been able to listen to my grandmother more.
If you heard someone describe someone else as Zaftig, I'm curious what you would think of that.
I would look askance. I would side-eye that because I know that while people may self-identify that way, and it might be quite a positive word, as we know, plenty of times descriptions of women can be used positively or negatively. So I would kind of be wary of what that person meant.
It really all depends on what you're triggered by or what your mother taught you about weight and your body and what is beautiful. I find it to be a compliment.
Judy recently lost weight for health reasons with the help of GLP-1s. Can you talk a little bit about that decision to lose weight and what that process was like for you?
Well, I lost, probably about 55 pounds. It was a very gradual thing. And I finally got to my weight that I was in my 20s when I thought I was fat, in my 30s when I thought I was fat. And I have maintained that weight for almost a year now. And I feel amazing.
I wondered, now that you've lost this weight, how do you relate to the word Zaftig now? And have your feelings about it changed at all?
I think I like the word more now. Zaftig is beautiful to me. I think of the whole package of not carrying weight around, but more carrying life around. When I see a Zaftig woman, I think she enjoys life and she eats up life, I guess, and positivity. And I think it's so beautiful. I think women with meat on them are just beautiful. And they're real. When I see a big woman taking up her space, I'm like, go girl, you know? And I'm intimidating because of my height, you know? And people are constantly like staring at me and like—
You're what, 6 feet tall?
I'm about 6'1", 6'2". I was 6'3". I shrunk. It's a lot about taking up space, which is not a feminine— I mean, in our society, you know, just like being a comedian is not the most feminine occupation, being loud and having an opinion. So that's why I think Zaftig is all encompassing. And maybe we can expand it so that it is for a woman who comes into a room and takes up that space, you know?
Do you still identify with the word?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I have a joke about my mother when she moved into the nursing home and how we were looking through photos to put on the wall. And I found a photo of her with her grandfather. And I said, "Ma, your grandfather was so fat." And she said, "Well, Judith, that was the style then." And I was like, "Really? When's that coming back in style? I need a modeling job." And now people would say, "Well, you're skinny," but I'm really not skinny. I'm average.
We're really in the age of these GLP-1s, right? I think it's fair
right,
to say.
Right.
Do you think that we're going to lose the Zaftig body type? And are we going to lose the need for the word?
I know, Jen. I think about that.
It sounds like you think if we did lose that entirely, it wouldn't be such a great thing. It would be kind of sad.
Absolutely not. There's all different kinds of body types. it's all this friggin' attitude about women's bodies. And it's ridiculous. There are women who have just big boobs and big asses, and they're just gorgeous. Zoftig makes me smile. I think of an apron. I do.
So the Zoftig woman is related to the Balabusta?
Yes, yes, a little bit.
On a recent morning, I head over to a cozy restaurant in Brookline, Massachusetts. As I step through the front door, the smell of matzo ball soup wafts through the air. A large painting of a buxom woman in a red dress hangs on the wall, greeting me. This is Zoftig's, founded by Bob Schumann in 1997. Bob's son Evan manages the restaurant. I ask him why his father chose the name Zoftig's.
For us, it speaks to the kind of embodiment of the Jewish grandmother, the size of portions, the idea that when you go into, you know, if you go into your grandmother's house and, like, there's always food cooking, you're always going to be fed, you're never going to leave hungry. My dad's great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, Nanny Fanny, you'll see a lot of the artwork in the restaurant. There's a woman in a red dress, and she could be considered Zoftig, which, by the way, is always thought of and spoken of in more of, like, a joyous capacity. It's just sort of very proudly, here, this is kind of who I am. But like I said, it also speaks more to how we want people to feel when they're in here.
My name is Sarah, and I am a resident of Boston.
So do you come to this is not a pickup line. Do you come to Zoftig's often?
It's a great pickup line, actually. I haven't in recent years, but this is like a favorite for sure.
What, if anything, does the word Zoftig mean to you?
Well, I feel like I should know the answer to this, but I don't.
So Zoftig means plump. It can have a positive connotation of, like, pleasantly plump, voluptuous, curvy, with meat on your bones. So, okay, immediate reaction to that?
Well, being a pleasantly plump, voluptuous, fat woman, I love that. I have a very positive connotation to that.
My name's Cole. I am 22. I'm interested to know why.
Well, I'll say this to you. You just ordered a pastrami scramble. So does that maybe help you kind of...
It's all coming together now.
My name is Neil Goldstein. I live here in Brookline, and I've been coming to Zoftig's for a long time. And I'm what you'd call Zoftig. I'm 84, and I've carried a few extra pounds for many years.
What does the word Zoftig mean to you?
Beefy, hefty, you know, slightly overweight, or could be very much overweight. But Zoftig is, you know, someone that's got a little beef on him or her.
It can describe anyone, a man, woman?
It can be a man or a woman, yeah, positively. Okay. It could be a dog.
Yeah. My dog is a little Zoftig, actually. What's your name?
Emmy. I think it's interesting that it's a word based on just, like, someone's appearance and body. I feel like maybe best to not, you know, best to stay away from those kinds of words. I don't know.
I'm Olivia. I agree with what you said. Maybe we don't comment on body types, but at the same time, it feels like a little bit cozy and a little bit endearing in the right context and among people that are trusting and, you know, say it out of love.
I'm Christina from New Jersey. When I come and eat here, especially the soup, it makes me feel warm and cozy and relaxed, which I appreciate. But it also strikes a chord because growing up, the nickname for me was Gordita, which is chubby. So it makes sense, and I still find it comforting, and I'm just happy to be here.
And we're happy to be back with you for the spring season of Can We Talk? That's our word of the week, Zoftig. Thank you for listening to Can We Talk, the podcast of the Jewish Women's Archive. Our team includes Nahani Rouse and Judith Rosenbaum. Our theme music is by Girls in Trouble. Thanks to Alicia Jo Rabins for letting us use her music for our Word of the Week jingle. You can find Can We Talk online at jwa.org/canwetalk or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, I'm Jen Richler.